Thank you, thank you. You may be seated. Yes, we are indeed honored to be here. We teach around the world, and it's always fascinating what God has got planned, different days, different on Sundays and so on. And so thank you all that have attended here today. I've been married to the brain for 30 years. I'm the subject of most of the books and the DVDs, if you decide to buy any of them. Talking about them, we have a four-book special, four books for $55, save yourself $11. And we have other combos and things like that. I always like to start off with something funny just to relax you, get the endorphins going. And he was talking about smart people and so on. Just reminded me, this pastor down the road from you was preaching one Sunday, and the person came up to him and said, you know, you must be smarter than Einstein. So he thought about it a week, because Einstein was a famous scientist, and he was a very smart fellow. So he got hold of that person last week and said, what do you mean I'm smarter than Einstein? He said, there's only about 10 people in the world that could understand Einstein and his theories, but when you preach, nobody can understand you. So I'm hoping you'll understand my wife today. Thank you. Bless you.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be here with you. You have such a lovely city. Austin is really nice. I was telling the G when we were driving over here that when we moved here 10 years ago, Mac and I were keen on California and the kids were keen on California. We landed up in Dallas and the kids kept saying, why didn't you choose Austin? It's way better than Dallas. So there you go. So it seems to be the trendy place where the youngsters like to hang out. So anyway, I am thrilled to be able to share the mind-brain connection with you. I am a scientist, and I believed in God from when I can remember. And to me, you can't separate science and God, because science is knowledge. It comes from the word skura, which means knowledge, and God is the source of all knowledge. So it's the most logical connection, yet it's been so divisive in the church, in the world, and it's so crazy to think that people think, well, you can't be a scientist and you can't believe in God, or you can't marry the two. And it's really been, when I first, honestly, 20 years ago, not even 20, sometimes even as recent as 10 years ago, people would say to me that you're a new ager because you believe in science. And I'd say, you know, really, just, we've got to stop this name calling. We've got to stop this judging. We've got to stop these rules. We've got to stop this religion and this Christianese, because it's really not what God is all about. God is all about love. God is love, and we have to start really functioning in love. Humanity's really reached a pinnacle, and every generation has its challenges, and every time period in history has major challenges. And I'm not saying that this is any different, but we have reached a very unique time in history where we are actually going backwards and not forwards when it comes to mental health and physical health. And that is very strange, because if you think of it, with the advances in technology and medicine, for decades people have been living longer and supposedly happier lives. But if you look at the actual trends between 2014 and 2015, there was a reversal in this trend of people living longer. So this is a big problem. For the first time in decades, people started dying younger than what they had done previously. And that, if you look at the actual, if you look at the slides, you'll see that people are dying 15 to 25 years younger than what they were just a few short decades ago from preventable lifestyle diseases. So we live in a generation where our children and our children's children are going to die younger than this generation if we're not careful, if we don't change how things are functioning. And that's not just the world out there, it is the church as well. This statistic is applying across the board, no matter what religion, what belief, who you are, what you do, this is a global problem. So we're sitting with a global problem, and let me re-emphasize this, of people dying 15 to 25 years younger than they should from preventable lifestyle diseases. Yet we have a God of love, a brilliant God, who has filled this world with his wisdom. And the wisdom of God is in knowledge that God gives us. And science explains how the world functions and how we function as humans. So if you want to understand God, you really do need to understand and learn about science. And that doesn't mean that you need to be a brain scientist or a physician or a physicist. Science is every bit of knowledge. Every single thing about how the world functions, about how you function, whether it is whatever field at university, whatever field at college, whatever field you're in, that is knowledge. In order to just be alive, you are using knowledge. Okay, so knowledge is not, when we talk about science, people immediately think that that's just brain science or, you know, the scientific method. It's not. It's an incorrect assumption. Things, history and philosophy and botany and engineering and every single bit of knowledge is actually falling under the domain of the word skura, which means knowledge. And knowledge is basically how we understand God. So I use science in a very practical way. I bring a view of science into spirituality in terms of helping people to understand the magnificence and the incredible, glorious brilliance of godness. And I say godness on purpose so that we don't forget how big God is and stop bringing God down to our very, very narrow-minded level. And also, you see science as a very practical way of understanding God, of understanding the truths of what we hear in Scripture. So Scripture is the story, and science tells us how to make sure that we do the story. So we don't just become great on Sundays where we are nice to each other and raise our hands and worship, and then we go straight out and argue with our family and criticize and get jealous and envious and hate our boss and hate our day, and, you know, the week just gets worse, and, you know, complaining and jealous and envious. And I mean, that is all totally toxic, and that's what's killing people. That attitude, that not applying the truths of love on a day-to-day basis, is part of the reason why people are dying 15 to 25 years younger. And you might be saying, well, since the beginning of time, people have been making wrong choices and have been toxic. Of course they have. And from the beginning of time, people have been dying from toxic choices. But then we had the advances of technology that kept people alive for longer. But now that's not even working. So what we see, if you look at the next slide, is that if you don't get your mind right, if you don't renew your mind, if you don't bring all thoughts into captivity, if you don't operate with your love, power, and sound mind, which is your normal default mode of functioning, you are not even going to be able to take advantage of the knowledge that God has provided through the advances in medicine and technology and this incredible world that we live in and all the incredible sciences and information that God has given us. We're not really going to be able to use that for the benefit of humanity, because why has God given us knowledge in the first place? Obviously, so that as humans, we can fulfill what we're supposed to be doing, which is being decent humans that are loving humans, that are reflecting the love of God across the earth. As the glory covers the earth, the waters cover the seas. And that comes from not just saying nice scriptures as a magic potion and using God as a genie, which may sound very harsh, but it is actually living the reality of what does it mean to be a follower of God? What does it mean to be a follower of love? And science shows us how. It's very practical. And if you think of the life of Jesus, Jesus was very practical. So we need to get much more practical in how we apply the truths of God in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And that's essentially what I try and help people do, including myself. Okay, so we, as a scientist, I have a privilege of getting a view into science that maybe you haven't. So therefore, that is why I do what I do and write the books that I've written, and I have podcasts, and I have YouTube shows, and I have so much help to help you to be able to understand the brilliance of your brain, the brilliance of your mind, the incredible functioning of your body, the impact that you have when you think, feel, and choose on your physical functioning, and the importance of you and your identity and the role that you uniquely play in this world. Because there's something that you can do that no one else can do. And it's not enough just to go to a conference and shout, I'm a daughter of the king, or I'm a son of the king, and all these great platitudes, and then go out there and act like you're completely defeated. So we have to build bridges between what we're saying and what we're actually doing. Okay, so what we see with people dying 15 to 25 years younger from preventable lifestyle diseases, if we ask ourselves, what are those preventable lifestyle diseases? Your answers are up on the screen. The number one reason people are dying 15 to 25 years younger is from mismanagement of mind. Okay, if you don't have your mind functioning right, and if you don't look after your mind that looks after everything else, which is real mental self-care, then you are not going to be functioning physically like you should, and you're not going to be fulfilling the role that you should be fulfilling on this earth. As I said, there's something you can do that no one else can do. We're also in a world where we cannot control the events and circumstances of our lives, because the events and circumstances of our lives are the result of other people's choices and of things that just happen. Okay, so things go wrong. But we can control our reactions. So we can't control what goes on out there, but we can control how we respond to what is going on in our lives and what we are exposed to on a familial level, your family, relationships, work, church, socio-political, all these things. We can control our reactions to those things. If we don't control our reactions and we just blindly misuse our mind, we are going to physically break down our bodies. And if our bodies break down, it's going to be very hard to live a long, healthy, useful life. Okay, so these are bare facts that we are seeing being revealed through science, and that is showing us that if we don't operate in love, we will suffer the consequences. And we see this so clearly in Scripture. We do not have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of love, power, and soundness. And that is something I believe the church does not understand, because it's not being taught enough. And I talk about the church across the world, and I talk about not just one religion, but across the world, this is an issue. People are not understanding the power of the human mind. There is a lot of science about this, and there's been a lot of excellent science showing the power of the mind and the impact of the mind on the body for nearly 200 years now. But it's been kind of suppressed by what we call the scientific method, or Cartesian Newtonian science, which is, I know, a mouthful, but in simple language, 350 years ago, Newton discovered Newton's laws. Newton believed in God, and Newton said these laws show us basic principles, but these basic principles can be broken by God because God is the creator of the universe. I'm just paraphrasing Newton. So Newton said there are laws, but they can be broken, or they can be changed or speed up, and that kind of thing. But that's not what was conveyed for the next 350 years. What happened was that the scientific method was birthed out of Newton's work, and basically a whole era of scientific research began, which was brilliant and fantastic, but it was a little skewed in the direction of focusing a lot on just the physical aspect. So what became important in the scientific discovery was laws and rules that applied to what you can see, touch, feel, hear, taste, and smell. But if you couldn't see it, it didn't count. So prior to the 350 years, or up until that mark, the non-physical or spiritual nature of humanity, of mankind, was considered very important. So we see from science, even up to 350 years ago, and from 350 years ago to the present time, and this is research that I've been very heavily involved in, and that is that we are non-physical part of us, which is our spiritual part of us, which is our ability to think and feel and choose and impact the world around us, including our physical bodies. That spiritual nature is about 99% of who we are. But it's the invisible, and it's that invisible part of us that we are starting to understand a little bit more through the science of quantum physics, which was birthed around about 130 years ago. And quantum physics is considered to be the most fundamental, which means basic to all other sciences. It's the basic operating system of everything about knowledge, and it's also considered to be the most accurate of sciences. And quantum physics focuses on the spiritual nature of man and the ability of man to make choices and the effect of those choices on the physical functioning of mankind and the impact of those physical choices on the world around us. Quantum physics takes this even deeper and says that we are wired for love, or we have an optimism bias. They show research that shows that we do not have anything physically in our body on a subatomic level that is designed for toxicity, that is designed for a spirit of fear, which is a big umbrella word for anything that's toxic, okay? Anything that's the opposite of love. Quantum physics shows us that we are actually at our core fundamental level waves of love energy, and that we're immersed in waves, gravitational fields that have the look and feel of love, and that they are coming from a source. So all energy comes from a supernatural source that is love. Now that sounds a lot like what it says in the Bible, that all energy comes from God, the spirit of life comes from God. Job 32:8, the spirit of life is breathed into. That's, I'm paraphrasing again, but basically we know God is the source of life. So what I've just said in science is exactly what it says in scripture, that God is the source of everything. So we have the most fundamental of sciences and the most accurate of sciences telling us that we are love, made of love, live in love, and come from love. And if love wasn't looking, if God wasn't looking, as Bishop Berkeley said 350 years ago, and Bishop Berkeley was a philosopher, a scientist, and a reverend, and he said that if God wasn't looking, we wouldn't exist. That the mere fact that God is looking means that you're alive, you have energy, you exist because God is looking. If God didn't look, we wouldn't exist. And that's really what science is showing us. And all the rules and the laws of science show us how this all works. So science is incredibly beautiful. And if I don't quote one more single scripture today, I am not being ungodly. I am being extremely godly, because I'm talking about God's description of love, and science is God's description of love. Okay, so it's a different angle, a different perspective, but it's eye-opening, and it will help you to realize the power of responsibility that you have over your own lives and your own choices, because responsibility is extremely important when it comes to having a relationship with God, because it says in Deuteronomy 30:19, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You know the scripture. Choose life. Okay, so you have the ability to choose to operate in love, which is this zone where you see the green tree, and or fear, which is this zone where you see the little wiry toxic tree. So that's the love zone, and that's the fear zone, two opposite spiritual forces that cannot coexist in one particular place. Perfect love casts out fear. There's all those scriptures. We see this scientifically as well. We see that the actual foundational principles of gravitational fields, for which some Nobel Prize winning scientists won the Nobel Prize for last year, their understanding and research on gravitational fields has given us tremendous insight into what we are standing in. So here there's oxygen around us, we know there's air. What is this? What are we immersed in? And what they are showing is that we literally are standing in waves of love. And those waves of love, for want of a better description, that's what they use. I mean, there's a whole bunch of science behind that, but I'm giving you the simple version, is that on top of this, there are disruptions to the natural flow of love. So if this is the love wave, then this is the opposite kind of wave. And what we see from humanity's ability to think, feel, and choose and make wrong choices, in other words, choosing death over life, because every time you choose to get irritated, frustrated, unforgiving, bitter, angry, jealous, envious, worked up, critical, etc., etc., you are generating energy. Because if you didn't generate energy, you would be dead. Okay, energy is something not weird. Without energy, we don't have computers, you don't have your cell phone, you can't drive your car, you won't eat food, you can't food, you're getting energy from food, and etc. So don't be scared of the word energy. Energy is basically from God, it keeps us alive. So when we are toxic, we are generating toxic energy. Einstein showed in some of his work that we are always emitting energy. As humans, you are emitting energy right now. And you are designed and wired to emit very healthy energy. So when you are thinking a toxic thought and you're frustrated or irritated, you are going to generate toxicity on top of your natural love design. And that's what you are feeling. So when you go into a room and or you're talking to someone and they are smiling at you sweetly, but deep down inside they are thinking, oh gosh, I can't stand this person. They irritate me. Well, that is what they're picking up. And they are picking up double confusing signals because you're smiling, which seems like you're friendly, but actually deep down inside you are emitting this toxic energy, which says, I really don't want to be around you. You really irritate me, or whatever it may be. So that's what you're not seeing, but it's what you are experiencing, because this is real, alive, and living, and it's generating those toxic photons, which are little packets of energy, which literally hit you like little bullets. So sometimes you feel like something's hit you, and it has actually, it's toxic energy. And because it goes against the natural optimism bias of your design, your basic fundamental waves of love energy, which translate back up into physical cells, the different parts of your body, and then what you physically look like on what we call the macro level. But on the micro level, you're made of particles, so the big stuff breaks down to small stuff and eventually breaks down to waves of energy. And you are emitting those. So our design, we see from science, is that we don't have circuits for fear, for frustration, for bitterness, for anxiety, for all that toxic stuff. What we do is we create them by our choices. So what we naturally have are a circuitry inside of our brain and the functioning of our cells, and we have around about 75 to 100 trillion cells. What we have inside of those cells is the design of love, or wired for love. So everything's designed for the positive. We designed to think well, feel well, and make good choices, which then impacts our genetic expression of all 75 to 100 trillion cells, and that therefore is impacting how we function physically. Now, I've just said a huge mouthful, so let me unpack that for you. Because the power of what I've just said is so important. I've just described the renewing of the mind scientifically. And now let me explain that you're using imagery, and I'm going to show you a slide. The first slide that you're going to see is of a human brain, a person who's alive, and they are thinking. They are connected to very advanced brain technology, and that what you see firing in there is the response of the brain to the mind. Okay, so now we're going to unpack the big statement that I made, and we're going to kind of unpack everything I've already said using some slides to help you understand. Okay, so what you're seeing here on the screen is what's happening in your brains at the moment, except your firing pattern will look different because, as you know, you are unique and you are different to everyone else. We see this reflected in your brain structure, right down to the way that your proteins vibrate, right down to your waves of energy. So each and every one of you is responding to my words, the sentences that I'm saying, and the images and things that you are seeing around you in your own unique way. But if we linked you all up to the same equipment, we would see this, we would see your own pattern of firing, but we would see firing in your brain. What we have here is the brain responding to the mind. So what is the mind and what is the brain? So here's the brain. The brain is your physical, the physical part of you. I'm bringing the scary thing to church. People always wonder why I do that, but it'll wake you up at this time of the morning anyway. Okay, so you've got your physical brain, which is about the size of your two fists. When you die, your brain dies and goes to dust. So therefore, your brain and your mind are completely separate. Your brain doesn't produce your mind. Your brain is not your mind. Your brain is separate from your mind. This is fundamental in understanding how you function. 350 years ago, as I mentioned earlier on, with the birth of Newtonian physics, we had the birth of classical physics, which basically translated all the way back to the current day, says that you are your brain. That your mind is simply a side effect or a mistake, because the neurons are firing and getting enough energy to, boom, produce a little bit of mind. Therefore, you are just a biological automaton, a robot, and you simply are the result of your biological firing of your neurons that shoot out some energy, and that happens to be your mind. And that free will is therefore an illusion, and you simply just a cog in the wheel. And you pre-programmed, and every choice that you make is just pre-programmed. And if you're making lots of bad choices and you're anxious and depressed, well, you just have bad genes. And you just have broken, you have a broken broken brain. You are a broken person. And when you die, well, that's it. I mean, that is such a terrible view of man. And yet that is the view that dominates the interpretation of beautiful science. And it is the it is also the interpretation that has insidiously crept into the church. And you may wonder, how on earth? I ask the same question. Because if you believe in an enormously, brilliantly, incredible, loving God, that is the power of this universe, the creator of this universe, if you believe in all the scriptures and all the things that you say that you come to church on a Sunday to learn about and you read in your Bible and you pray during the week, well, then how can you be part of a system that says that you don't have free will, you can't choose between life and death, you actually pre-programmed just to choose death or life, and if you're one of the lucky ones, good for you. If you're one of the unlucky ones, well, that's in your genes, you're just part of the... So how are you falling into that? How is the church, for example, falling into that? Well, when you subscribe to labels of that you have bipolar depression or you have an anxiety disorder or that you have OCD or something like that, this is a very easy example to understand this picture that I'm trying to paint, okay? So when you subscribe to a label that tells you that your mind is ill and that you are the product of a broken brain, then you are subscribing to that philosophy, which is not what God says, because God says that you do not have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of love, of power, and of soundness. So science also says that. Science says that your default mode is one, your neurobiology, your neurophysiology, your genetics, your genome is wired for love. So the core of your physical and spiritual nature is wired for love. Okay, so therefore, you do not have circuitry for the toxic stuff, like I've said. So therefore, your spiritual nature, which is your 99%, is your mind. Your physical nature, which is the 1%, includes the physical brain and body. So the 75 to 100 trillion cells of your brain and your body make up about 1% of who you are as a human. An extremely important 1%, a 1% that needs to be looked after and stewarded, because it is through the 1% that your 99% mind works. So the mind is separate from the brain, the mind works through the brain and the body, and the brain and the body respond to the mind. So your spirit works through your physical. It doesn't mean that you can just eat anything and then think that your body and brain are going to be fine and just say grace, and then God will turn that junk food into organic kale. That is, we laugh, but people do that and they'll tell me that. And then I say, okay, so you think God is the genie there at your beck and call and that you're just using grace as a magic potion. No, that doesn't work like that. You have a brilliant brain. Find out what is healthy to eat and eat healthy stuff, because that 1% brain and body are how you express your spirit. And if you don't have a brain and body, that's working you dead. So therefore, you can't express your spiritual nature. And the world has lost out because you are not functioning anymore, or when you were alive, you were not functioning like you should have. So therefore, we cannot not understand how to look after and steward our brain and our body and the earth that we have responsibility for. So to that end, I have written various different books. I've written lots of different books, but I call the four books that are up here my toolbox to help us start learning how to not be part of the statistic of people that are dying 15 to 25 years younger from preventable lifestyle diseases. Remember, that's the problem that I spoke about, okay? And let's quickly flash that slide back up again. People are dying 15 to 25 years younger from preventable lifestyle diseases. If you can just go back to the slide before. Okay, no, the slide before, the preventable lifestyle diseases, the problem slide. Okay, it'll come up now. So basically, people are dying for 15 to 25 years younger. There's a reversal of trends, and then in order to prevent that, we have to learn two things. Let's just stick with the slide. It's fine. We have to deal with mind issues and management, and we also have to deal with diet. So when we talk about diet, we are talking about looking after the brain and the body. We are talking about looking after the 1%. So when I talk about, and I'm starting with diet, I started with mind and I'm jumping to diet, I'm going to go back to mind. But I want to talk about the fact that your brain and your body are the 75 to 100 trillion cells. That's the 1%. So you all have to steward this 1%. And the reason I'm stressing this is because people think, okay, well, it's only 1%. It doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want with my body and brain. No, you can't. Because if your brain and body die because you haven't looked after them, as I just said, you're dead. You can't do anything. Okay, so you have to. And if your brain and your body are not healthy, you're not going to be able to use your mind like it should. Your spirit is powerful. It is 99%. It is eternal and quantum in nature, and it is connected to God. The power of God is flowing through you. And if you don't look after the actual substance that this power flows through, you're not going to handle it. And your brain is going to break down, and your body is going to break down, and that'll feed back into your spirit, and you will not function at the level that you should be functioning, which means that you will not fulfill what only you can fulfill, which means the entire world loses out because there's something you can do that no one else can do. So therefore, we need to address how to think, how to eat properly. And by the way, eating is totally a mind event. People are dying 15 to 25 years younger from preventable lifestyle diseases. And one of those is diet, and diet is controlled by mind. And if you look at the mind is the first one, so mind actually controls diet. So therefore, mind is seen as the main thing that is causing people to die younger. Because with your mind, you make the choice to eat the bad food. You make the choice to be toxic while you're eating the bad food. So now you've chosen the junk food, you're eating McDonald's, and you're sitting and gossiping while you're eating it. So now your digestive system cannot function. Your pancreas will not secrete the very important neuropeptides that are required for digestion of food. And therefore, which is one part of your entire digestive system, just one example. So your entire digestive system is run by your mind. And if you're now filled with this gossip and envy, your digestive system has lost 80% of its functionality. So now you're eating junk food. Your body's gone crazy. Now you wonder why you have IBS, why you have gastro issues, why you've got acid reflux, why you blame the food, you go and take a whole bunch of medication that has side effects, that makes you feel worse, and you're just adding one layer of bad things on top of the other, then you blame the devil. I mean, the devil's defeated. Then I also ask everyone, why do Christians keep talking about the devil all the time? Whatever you speak and think about the most will grow. Jesus defeated the enemy. So therefore, the enemy, I will not even say, and I've just used the devil as an example, I will not even give I do not speak about the devil ever in my life, because I'm not going to make something that into a person and give energy and attention to something that should not have attention. I focus on God, and I focus on the responsibility that I have to use my love, power, and my sound mind correctly. So if I choose to eat junk food and gossip, which I don't, because I know what it does in my brain and my body, and I understand from science the truth of spirituality, which says don't eat junk food, and don't go see it in your Bible, eat healthy. You're not supposed to eat junk food. You're supposed to look after and steward your brain and your body. And if you gossip, you are damaging your brain. Gossip causes brain damage because you don't have wiring for it. So you create neurochemical chaos and brain damage. You've affected your digestive system. So now you've got this total toxic state, and now you're saying that now you feel sick. You feel awful from the combined brain damage of gossip, from the combined brain damage and body damage of eating that McDonald's burger, and also the damage of your digestive system that's completely messed up from both of those toxic choices, and now you blame the devil. So now you give energy to something that shouldn't have energy, because you have the love, power, and the sound mind. As far as I understand from reading the scriptures, the devil's defeated and there's no power left in the enemy. The power resides in humanity. So therefore, we are supposed to connect with God, and we're supposed to use the power of God to make right decisions. And in order to do that, we have to connect with love. We have to use our mind to connect in with wisdom in order to make good decisions. We have to get our mind right. We have to renew our mind. If we don't renew our mind and look after our mind that looks after everything else, you're not going to be able to function. Hence, this book is called Think and Eat Yourself Smart. So I teach you about the fact that your mind is 80% involved in eating and controlling the digestive system. I tell you what has happened to food in this world today, which has been driven, profit-driven, not health-driven, and that has changed and has affected the earth. So if you call yourself a lover of God, then look after what God has created, which is the earth. You cannot turn a blind eye to what is going on in the earth. It's not some hippie movement. It is basic humanity to look after your body, look after your brain, eat well, and look after the earth. Okay? So then the other part of the toolbox, and I'm going to, over these three sessions, I'll go into each in a little bit more detail, but the other part of the toolbox is you need to get a handle on what it means to be wired for love. When God says you have a spirit of love and not a spirit of fear, when God says you have a spirit of soundness and power, you better understand what love, soundness, and power is. And science shows us, along with scripture, what that means. Scripture is the story. Science tells us how the story works. So I teach about the science of love in terms of your identity. It's not enough just to say, I'm a daughter of the King, I have the mind of Christ, and then you go off and you gossip. God it doesn't have gossip as the mind of Christ. It doesn't have being nasty to others as the mind of Christ. It doesn't have if someone is different to you that you now judge them. It doesn't have racism and all the ugly things that we see happening in our world. That is not the mind of Christ. That is when we use our powerful minds and we make wrong choices, death choices. We wire damage into our brain. Our brain is responding simply to what the mind is telling it to do. And when we damage our brain and our body through our choices and through incorrect eating, etc., we are now going to get sick bodies. And then we're going to have these sick bodies and sick brains feeding back into our mind, and we have set up a terrible toxic feedback loop. And then we blame the devil. Meanwhile, we need to take responsibility for the choices that we have made, because it says, I lay before you blessing and cursing, blah, 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 choose life. It says in James 13 through 15 that when you give birth to sin, sin will bring forth death. Okay? So God doesn't tempt us. God doesn't put us in a situation. God doesn't, Einstein said, God doesn't play dice with the universe. He does play dice with the universe, and that's not toxic. That is love, because God, the mere scripture that I lay before you, life and death, blessing and cursing, choose, means that you're in a universe where love requires the ability to choose, and there is a chance that you can choose wrong. Professor Keith Ward, a theologian at Oxford University, says God does play dice with the universe because God loves you. Love means you can choose. If you couldn't choose, you would be a robot. But you can choose. You can choose to activate the power of God in your mind. And when you choose to activate the power of God in your mind, there is going to be a great consequence. But if you choose to ignore and abuse that power and make toxic choices, there's going to be a consequence as well. So science says, when you choose life, you bring life into your body. And science says, when you choose death, you bring death into your body, which is exactly what the scriptures say. You indulge a wrong thought, and you keep indulging it, it grows bigger, and it will bring forth death, as it says in James 1, 13 through 15. Okay, so that's basically what we see in science, is that whatever you think about the most will grow. So this thing gets bigger and bigger. What is this thing? This is a thought. What I have on the stage is a toxic thought and a healthy thought. Thoughts look like trees in your brain. Thoughts are real things that occupy mental real estate. Matt, can you bring up a slide of the Golgi trees? Okay, so we're going to have a look at what, there we go. Okay, so that is what these look like in your brain. That's an actual slide of the brain, a very, very famous slide from many, many years ago called a Golgi stain, but it shows the tree-like structures of our thoughts in our brains. What are thoughts? Thoughts are memories. So what are thoughts and memories? The things that you are building in your brain 24/7 in response to the experiences of life that you started building right from very pretty much just before you were born into the point where you were born and all the way through life. Every single day, right now at 400 billion actions per second, you are turning your experiences of life, what you are hearing, what you are seeing, what you are responding to, the phone calls, the texts, the emails, the conversations, the work that you do, the things that you read, the things that you watch, the things that you hear are all being turned by your non-physical, spiritual 99% mind through your thinking, feeling, and choosing into physical realities in your brain. So you store all your experiences in tree-like structures in your brain. So when you think and when you feel and when you choose, and those three go together, when you think, feel, and choose, those three go together, you are basically influencing how your genes express themselves. Your mind is the switch that switches your genes on and off. And your genes are in your genome, and your genome is in every single one of the 75 to 100 trillion cells. And the genome, as your genes are switched on, little proteins are made. And those proteins, there's lots of different types of proteins, but the proteins that are first made are the ones in your brain. And your brain makes these little computers. These proteins are like little neurobiological computers. And you have billions and billions and billions and kabillions and quadrillions and however many billions and whatever big fancy word. You have so many in your brain. And just one is more powerful than all the computers on the entire planet. Now, let me say that again. You, as an individual, have billions upon billions upon billions of little neurobiological computers that you make through your thinking, feeling, and choosing, and one, and you have billions and billions and billions, and these 8 billion people with billions and billions and billions, just one is more powerful than all the computers on the planet. You have so much power inside your physical brain, and your mind is even more powerful than your physical brain. And so when you think, feel, and choose, you build these computers, and these computers control cell division. They control everything physically about you in every moment. So your thinking is controlling your physical being every moment of every day. That is the power of the mind. And that is why renewing of the mind is not a choice. It's an essential life skill. And it is why the main reason, let's put that slide up again, the main reason people are dying from preventable lifestyle diseases is because of mismanagement of the mind. So we see that in scripture. If you don't manage your mind, those little neurobiological computers go crazy, which means your brain and your body are going to get sick. And then the thoughts that you build in your brain are toxic, which is making your body sick, brain damage, chemical chaos, and that is then also becomes the root of what you say and what you do. So not only is this affecting the physical functioning of your brain and your body, this is the mind-brain-body connection, but it is also the root of your words and your actions. So when you are speaking those ugly words about someone or judging someone because they think differently to you or you don't understand what they are going through and you're judging them or whatever, you have created brain damage in your brain, your body is suffering, and you are spewing toxic energy out into the love energy in the gravitational field. And because you are talking about someone you know, you are pouring that toxic energy in their brain, and you are contributing to their malaise. That is the responsibility that you have. No thought is harmless. Okay, no words spoken are just random events. A word is a reflection of what you're thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know the scriptures, here's the science. This is not a game. Why does it say, bring all thoughts into captivity? All. Does it say, bring the thoughts, 3 on Sunday, 2 on Monday, none the rest of the week? Or whichever you feel like, it's okay, cool, I'm God, I don't mind, you're fine. It doesn't. It says renewing of your mind is a lifestyle. People are dying from preventable lifestyle diseases. And the main reason science research is showing us is that it is because of mismanagement of mind. Okay? So when you mismanage your mind, you are going to break down your brain and your body. You are going to spew evil into the world, and you are going to cause damage in your brain, body, and in your relationships and in the world, and it will go through to the next generations if you don't deal with the stuff. Passes through the sperm and the ova, and the impact of your words on other people builds into their brain, and that passes on. You have phenomenal responsibility to bring all thoughts, not some thoughts, not only thoughts that you feel like bringing into captivity, all your thoughts. Every single thought is supposed to be brought into captivity to love and compared against the standard of love. So can we do that? Are we able? Absolutely. That is how our brains are designed. Neuroscience, the study of the brain, shows us how the brain responds to the mind, and it shows that the brain is designed to do that. In fact, you are capable of standing back and observing your own thinking every 10 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, you are able to bring all thoughts into captivity 6 times a minute. You are able to consciously, deliberately, and intentionally self-regulate what you are thinking, feeling, and choosing every 10 seconds. How many of you are doing that? Maybe you say, well, I didn't know that. You actually did. Maybe you didn't know the numbers, but it says, bring all thoughts. If you come to church, you know it. If you read your Bible, you know it. We have to renew our mind. We have to bring all thoughts into captivity. Because chaotic, toxic thoughts moving raging rampantly through your brain are breaking down your brain and your body and are allowing you, you are allowing yourself to build toxicity unchecked into your brain. And when I say building toxicity, there's 2 categories, and I'll end around here because I think it's almost time. Is that correct? How long do I have? Okay, I've got to wrap up. Okay, so that's why you need to come to session 2 and 3. You need to follow me on YouTube. You need to follow me on my podcast. Follow me on my social media. I give information every day. And we're bringing out a great app to help you with this. It'll be out very soon. Matt, can you just put that slide up quickly? Called the Switch app, which is a very practical tool to help you to renew your mind daily and train you to do this thing every 10 seconds. So all my materials deal with different things in terms of this aspect, and the app kind of pulls it together. In this book over here, I teach you to understand your identity and the science of love. There's a great profile. In this one, I told you about this is the food. In here, I teach you how to detox your brain. So when we've built up toxic thoughts, how do we detox our brain? I'm going to talk more about that in this next session. And in my latest book, which is the 4th book of the series of that I call the Mental Toolbox, that helps. This is the toolbox to stop you falling in that statistic of 15 to 25 dying 15 to 25 years younger. In this book, I explain to you the power of mindsets. In other words, what are you supposed to renew your mind to? What is a mindset. I'm going to talk about this evening. And then I also talk in here about your unique way that you think, feel, and choose. And I talk about how important it is to build your brain. So in essence, if you want to summarize and end off, if you want to understand how to manage your mind that manages everything else, if you want to learn how to control intentionally and deliberately your thinking every 10 seconds. In other words, if you want the how-to of renewing your mind and bringing all thoughts into captivity, science shows us how. And these materials of mine are designed to help you do that. I'm a clinician as well. I practice clinically for 25 years. I don't do it anymore. I do clinical trials. We're busy at the moment running non-pharmacological intervention for people with anxiety and depression, etc. I'm going to be talking about bits of those in the second and third session today as well. But for those of you that can't attend, you can, as I said, follow me on social media, etc. You can get a lot of this information there. But the point here is that you, to summarize everything that I've said, you are designed to bring all thoughts into captivity every 10 seconds. That is an amazing thing to know. Your brain will work for you. Your body will work for you. How? By using your mind correctly, you make your brain and your body work for you and not against you. You really do have a love power and a sound mind. And remember, you can't control the events and circumstances of your life, but by bringing all thoughts into captivity and by renewing your mind, you are actually doing that. You are actually controlling your reactions. Thank you so much. Hope to see you at the next sessions.